Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich finishing up his vacation this week. Well, maybe. We'll see. Andy Hart, WEEI.com. Nick Cattles are in the house, as they were yesterday as well. We began the show today talking about Tuukka Rask's attitude, honesty. I'm not sure what term we put on it here, which caused a lot of angst for a lot of people. And a lot of folks got upset, not so much with how he played. I don't think too many people thought that the 3-2 loss last night was the fault of the goaltender, but more about what he said after he played. Is that fair?
Yes.
And let's just play a couple of cuts here from last night and try to do them in context here. The first cut we're going to play, Matt Porter of the Boston Globe, he was the reporter on the Zoom session, and he was talking about goaltender interference, chippiness. Remember, the Hurricanes had a goal disallowed because of goaltender interference, kind of an elbow in the side of Tuukka's neck and things like that. And Porter was asking, is Carolina taking extra liberties with you, or is that just part of playoff hockey?
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, it's, things happen, people fall on you and whatnot, but you know, it's definitely not a playoff fight.
So that was the first part, and he was specifically answering, you know, is this playoff hockey, you know, trying to mess with the goalie? And he says it doesn't even feel like playoff hockey. And by the way, it doesn't.
Right.
He's not telling any untruths there. Even for those of us who love the sport, thrilled that we're back working, we look at the games, we go, well, this isn't quite the same, is it?
And it can't be. I mean,
and no fault of anybody. It
no,
can't be.
It is
the
what
NHL,
it is.
The NHL, Nick, is doing everything they can possibly do to pull this thing off. What they can't do is fake fans in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, there is a point where, as Andy says, it is what it is, and we have to be honest with each other and truthful and say there is something missing. And if it's missing when you watch, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it feels exactly the same way. It doesn't. I wish it did. Now, does that mean I'm not enjoying these games? No, I love watching these games.
Sure.
I'm into it. But, you know, it'd be disingenuous to go out there and say, oh, nah, it's just like it's been throughout my entire career when the arena's been rocking and the stadium's going crazy. That'd be ridiculous.
All right, so let's play you the second cut here with as Tuukka continued. And again, this goes back to what it's like, the atmosphere on the ice, in the rink, even though technically it's the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're trying to play as hard as you can. And obviously, you know, you're playing a best of seven series, so there's going to be some battles going on and whatnot. But, you know, when you play it in your home rink, you play in a away rink, and there's fans cheering for you or against you, and that creates another, you know, buzz around the series. So there's none of that. So it just feels like dull at times. You know, there's moments that, you know, okay, there's little scrums and whatnot, but then there might be 5 minutes and it's just coast-to-coast hockey and there's no atmosphere. So it just feels like an exhibition game. So, but, you know, we're trying our best to kind of ramp up and get energized and make it feel like a playoff game.
Again, I know people didn't like it when he said, well, it feels like an exhibition game. Well, it kind of does.
Right. I don't understand. I mean, that's one of those where, I mean, I guess he could lie. Yeah, we, you know, this feels, I know there's no fans, but feel, I can feel
don't
the intensity.
Don't you worry, it's just like right. It always is.
This is one where I think the truth is warranted and I think is understandable. You can put as many little digital screens and tarps and make noise. It isn't there. Like, there's no energy. I've talked about the energy at Gillette with only 13,000. You know, will it be weird? Well, there's literally no energy in this building, and he's supposed to pretend there is? No, I don't
want
to
lie.
I'll tell
you this, when the Patriots, hopefully, play their first game on September 13th, and if there are people in the stands, it'll be 14,000. I'm not sure there will be then, but let's say that there are for the sake of this argument. It's not going to feel the same there either.
Right, and if somebody comes out and, you know, they say they roll and Cam Newton comes out, you know, felt like same old football, the place was rocking. Well, okay, I stopped listening because the place was not rocking because it holds 68,000 and there were only 12, 13, 14,000. So don't lie to me.
And let's give you the cut that really touched Andy off here because and it's the one.
Yeah.
Again, what I was trying to do was play some cuts within context so you could hear exactly what he was saying. But this was the cut more than any other that got Andy Hart. And to be fair, not just Andy Hart, a little pissed off, really.
Well, I mean, considering I had 4 months off, so, I mean, not in prime shape, but you know, trying to get there, just trying. I'm just trying to have fun and you know, play the game. I'm not stressing too much about the results and whatnot. You know, it's August and haven't played hockey forever, so just go out there, have fun, and see what happens for me.
That's the one that got Andy.
Yep. Just see what happens. You know, not stressing about the results. It's 1-1. Good news is I might only have to stress or not stress for another 3 games because then I can go back to the offseason. More time off.
So do you want him to be stressed?
I'd like him to care.
You want him freaking out?
I'd like him to care. I don't know what the word is, but I always look at, you know, there's some people in this world that if they didn't get a paycheck this week, well, they're fine. They got a lot of money in the bank, and they're doing. There's others that I think are scrambling to get a paycheck, and maybe that pushes them to do more, right? And that's not what he's articulating. He's not, you know, fighting for his playoff life or his reputation or his legacy or any. Nope, just trying to have fun.
Yeah,
and see what happens.
I mean, I would agree with that. He's definitely not saying that. And you know, would it be better if he said it? Sure, it would be better that he said it. Although we would not be getting as much radio out of it as we have today. So
it's true.
I guess in a weird way, Andy, you should be happy by what he said. But you know, when you look at what he said, do you feel like he plays that way? Do you feel like when he's out there on the ice that his action on the ice coincides with his words that he chose last night?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I mean,
because to me that's what matters most.
Well, what really matters most isn't even that. It's the end result, right? It's getting to that end game. And I do believe there are different makeups for athletes. We've talked about this. There are different ways to get there.
I mentioned Marchand and Bergeron could not be more different from a personality perspective, and yet they're best of friends, line mates, and incredible players, but they get there from totally different routes.
And we've talked, I mean, Marchand's the perfect example, Dale, with the way he plays the game. And
on edge, and he's spearing guys.
Right, and started out scrappy and fighting for everything he got and going low and this and that, and then all of a sudden, well, yeah, he's a pretty good player now. Like, he can actually score. There's skill to his game, right? He's not just a gnat you want to swat away. He can play. I don't think he can play without that, right? That's who he is.
He does not think he can play without that.
And I agree with him.
And on the other hand, Tuukka was like that when he started in the American Hockey League, you know, years ago.
Yep.
And he came to learn, I can't play like that.
Now, we don't know, right? Because he was an ascending talent at that time, right? He had already established himself as a good hockey player. Not in the NHL, but he was ascending toward that. We don't know what he would have been had he continued to go down that track. But I am with you. I don't think Brad Marchand could be the same guy without the way he plays. Just like I don't think Patrice Bergeron could play like Marchand, be an a-hole, be an instigator. And I don't think that's his game. I don't think he would succeed. So you, on some level, I do believe you have to be who you are. Now, the interesting question here is, we're talking about Tuukka changing who he is, right? A decade ago or whenever this took place.
And he said about, you're trying to be more calm.
Right. And I
should just stress here, when I say more calm, and to Nick's point, he doesn't act more calm. He tries to play the game in a calm way. It looks like the puck's just hitting him, but he is ultra competitive out there.
But he doesn't freak out if he gives up a goal. Like, how many times have I seen him squirting the water bottle?
He's like a cornerback, you know, in the NFL who gives up the deep pass. Well, guess what? You got to defend the next one. So you got to put it away.
Post-goal, Tuukka is going to be left elbow on the net, right elbow has a squirt, getting a drink, right? I've seen it a million times.
Sure.
Like, he's not freaking out. He's not histrionics or whatever. And that's fine. That has worked for him to an elite level. Are we saying he's elite? Is that a fair term we're putting on him? Is he a Hall of Fame goalie? Probably a side topic for a different day.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What if he wins another cut? Go down that road a different day. Maybe he'd be a Hall of Fame goalie if he played the way he played when he was once an ascending goalie. But he's made a conscious decision to change his... Hell, Tom Brady did along the way, didn't he? Didn't Tom Brady sort of alter his mental makeup along the way with some help?
Yeah.
You know, the Tony Robbins and, you know, Guerrero and what's that book? The Four Agreements and, like, his wife, I would say. She's big into yoga and certain spiritual things.
Kind of zen-like.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady has evolved along the way. And in the midst of that process, he kept winning. And he won titles, and now he's in another phase of that process. So I'm not saying, if you were the fiery kid in Little League, I'm not saying you have to be the fiery kid 20 years later when you're playing, you know, professional sports, that you can be better and, you know, learn with a sports psychologist. And I'm not saying if you change, it necessarily has adverse effects on your performance. I'm just saying we cannot directly tie the way he thinks, speaks, and acts to his success level, right?
See, what I would say is, I'm not going to go down this road. We went down the road before. I don't want to repeat myself. I get bored with that. What I would say is, you know, when I look at Tuukka, I feel like people, they always want to nitpick what Tuukka does to fit their narrative, right? That's what we do. That's how this works.
Yep.
But I don't look at Tuukka and say he's not fiery. I've seen Tuukka want to get into fights with dudes on the ice. I've seen Tuukka get steaming hot mad at the opposition during a game. I've seen Tuukka show that fire, but it's funny because the people that want to look at this quote from last night, they're going to paint it as he has no fire.
I care about them winning more than he does.
He has no compete level, as they say. I disagree with that. He has shown that he has compete level. He has shown that if you cross a certain line in his head, he's going to let you know. And isn't that what we do? I mean, I'm not just talking about pro athletes. Isn't that what we all do? Don't we in some instances, like, you've been at work, right? Something's gone wrong at your job. You didn't get mad at it. You said, well, I'm not happy with the results. For example, radio. Oh, the ratings weren't great. Ratings weren't great. And some people would say, the ratings aren't great. And they'll walk into the office and they'll flip a table over. We got to do better, and put their head through a wall. Other people will say, well, we obviously didn't do well enough, and the results are what they are. I don't care what the last book says. I care what the next book says. But there's still, you know, in some instances, they're still going to be fiery about individual things that happen in the office. That's how I look at Tuukka. Like, he does get fired up, but he doesn't get fired up by the things that people want him to get fired up about. And I think that's unfair because you're now trying to put him in the box for you. You want him to act a certain way and say a certain thing. I'm not saying you, Andy. I'm saying generally. You know, you want him in this box. He's a goalie. Dale, how many times have we heard somebody text the show at 37937 earlier and said, I thought goalies are like from a different planet. Yeah, how long have we said that goalies are different? So now we're supposed
totally.
Yeah, now we're supposed to get mad? Like, I don't get it.
He's actually more normal than most, to be honest with you, because off the ice, he's as normal as I've run across. But Tim Thomas wasn't normal.
Right.
Hell of a goalie, won a cup, lives in the hearts of Bruins fans forever. He wasn't normal.
So was this a philosophical mistake, or is this a philosophical flaw with Tuukka that we've spent, you know, a couple hours here on a post-playoff loss morning talking about? Or was it simply, he said a dumb thing. He said something he shouldn't have said. It could have been, you know, a shot at an opponent. Could have been a shot at a teammate. Would we lump those all together as he kind of said a dumb thing? It's not necessarily the philosophy that we have an issue with, because we've already articulated. Different guys can take different approaches, but the decision to voice it publicly, was that a mistake?
Yeah, I think it was a mistake, but I think it's one of those things where you can say he didn't say the right thing, but he was just being honest in the moment, which I don't hate. And I'll also say this. You know, we talked about it earlier. We're spending a lot of time on Tuca, and I get it because he's very polarizing and people either hate him or they defend him. I understand that part of it, right? But, you know, I don't think it affects his performance. That's my opinion. I think he's one of the best goalies in the game. I think if you look at that and say, well, you know, if he didn't get inside his head, or if he didn't say, you know, if he cared more, he'd be even better. I think that's really tough to say he'd be better, because if he was better, he'd be unstoppable, the best goalie we've ever seen. But also say, you know, by focusing on Tuca, we're letting a lot of guys slide. And people are looking at the dressing room and saying, well, how do the teammates feel? Teammates might actually be happy today, because we're talking about what Tuca said for 5 seconds last night instead of the bad hockey they played that entire second period and for stretches in the third period.
Yeah. I actually thought of that earlier. Is he crazy like a fox? Is this one of those, like,
no,
he
I think
took
he
the
just
focus
said,
off?
He got the question and he answered the question. Here's back-to-back respondents on my Twitter feed. Chris says, Dale, you're out of your mind regarding Tuca. If he doesn't care about results, why should I? Halak should get the start tomorrow. That's followed by Rich, the very next Twitter follower, who says, I hope Tuukka Rask sits at the podium after Saturday's game and invokes his inner Belichick and answers every question with, we're on to game four, as monotone as possible.
I actually, that would be funny. I don't think he'll do that, just my view of him from afar. Either we're on to, or just cliches. Just pick three or four cliches. I'm just here to help the team, focused on winning, doing absolutely anything I have in my being to help the team. Something cliche. I don't think he has that in him. Also, a quick aside discussion I had with Scheim. What do you think of the overall look of Tuca? Because when I saw him making these controversial comments last night, I saw a bad villain in a, like, Spy Kids Disney movie.
You don't like the facial hair, huh?
The facial
the
hair.
Facial hair.
I think he also had a gator around his neck. There was like a,
well,
might have been an ascot.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, they've all got their masks.
The slicked back hair.
So
no,
he
they
had
all
a
wear their masks
look.
Around their necks when they when they're up there.
He just had a certain look to him while delivering these ill-advised comments that made me smirk a little bit.
Yeah, I think people, you know, they'll look at certain things and try to pick him apart because they just enjoy doing it.
Yes.
You know, I said this at the start of the show. I feel the same way now, and I'll feel the same way tomorrow when Andy and I are doing our show on Saturday morning. You know, I just care about the results. Like, and I know that might sound ridiculous to some people, but honestly, that's it. And I would say this, you know, if Tuca, it's all about being fair to me. If Tuca goes out there and he sucks tomorrow, then he should be ripped pillar to post because he did not do his job. His job.
Well, if he sucked last night and then sat there and said those things,
right,
I'd sort of understand it.
And instead,
what he's basically saying is, I can't control everything. The things I can control, that's what I worry about. The result, it's almost like, you know, they say pitchers don't have much to do. Win-loss records for pitchers is not the way you determine how well they pitch. You know, you might throw the ball just god-awful, and your team goes out there and scores you 8 runs and you win. You might throw the ball great and your team does nothing and you lose 1-0. His play last night was not why they lost.
Right. Their puck management was god-awful, and that's why they lost. At the end of the day, that's why they lost. They were sloppy, they were casual, they were careless with the puck, and because of that, Carolina had way, way, way too many opportunities and too much time in their zone. But to look at Tuca and to get to the job point, you know, everybody says, like, oh, he earns a check to play, right? Yeah, that's his job. His job is not to be eloquent. His job is not to be poetic. His job is not to be one of the great orators of the athletic world. So yeah, he made a mistake last night. He said something that I don't think he should have said. But at the end, it's not about that. He gets paid the millions of dollars that he gets to play the game. And if tomorrow he goes out there and plays well, couldn't care less what dude said on Friday night or Thursday night or Wednesday or whenever.
Let's get to back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Dan's in Cranston. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing great.
Quick point. So, like, Nick and Dale, you guys are hockey diehards and more of a periphery character, more like Andy probably.
Yep.
So, you know, I kind of look at it as, like in a perspective of like, I don't know who had the better, if you put both career statistics up against each other, Tuukka Rask and Tim Thomas, I'm assuming Tuukka Rask is much better numbers.
Considerably
right?
better. Yeah, considerably better.
Right. Yet, from my perspective, all I think about is that Thomas is better because he won a cup.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I just think that, much like David Price, he's kind of in the same boat. He's a polarizing figure, maybe for different reasons. But I think it's simply all he has to do is win the damn thing, and he shuts all this conversation up. I think it's as simple as that.
I understand your point, Dan, and yet I don't think David Price turned the tide of personal of opinions of people around by his performance, you know, in the postseason and winning the World Series. I think people still dislike David Price.
I agree. You know, he had that holding all the cards or whatever
comment.
But when you then remind people, whatever, something else happens. You don't live off that championship glory quite as long as we sort of pretend you do. And then you get into an argument with somebody or you say something dumb in the media or you XYZ with a teammate. And we go, oh, yeah, now I remember why I didn't like that guy. I appreciate that he helped win a championship, but I just recalled why I hate him.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked before about Curt Schilling, who I never thought would have to buy a meal or a beer in this town after the bloody sock and winning the World Series, and then people turned on Tim Thomas wins the Stanley Cup. Everybody loves him. And then the whole White House thing happens, and a lot of people in this primarily Democratic state were upset with him about it.
I can remember on these very airwaves, Ted Sarandis in the early 2000s making comments about if you win, you're the Patriots. If you win, you're the Red Sox. You have a 5-year pass, no matter what. You want a title, 5-year pass. Whenever you want to criticize, pop in a DVD and relive the glory of this fictional forthcoming title. How does that work out? I mean, ask the Red Sox and Alex Cora how long that lasts. We learned that a year ago, right? Oh, you're the World Series champions, and by mid-April when you're 3-7, we're ripping you. And what the hell's good? Boy, did you mismanage this spring training. That honeymoon period does not exist in professional sports like we try to pretend it does.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line, for those guys primarily, I don't have it up here, is 37937. It's Dale and Keith. Hart and Cattles are in, and it's time to trend.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
Ready for more? Dale and Keith on WEEI.
There's a drive to right center field. This is crushed way back by the bullpens, and it is gone. There's a swing and a drive to deep right. Oh, this boy. One is long gone.
Yeah.
Swing and a long drive to left. If it's fair, it's gone down the line up by the light tower. That is a tremendous home run for Renfro. There's a drive to left field. This one's long gone. Zunino with a tremendous blast.
So I was working last night, didn't get to see a lot of the Red Sox game, which means I didn't miss a damn thing. You know, we were at Nesson. We've all got our own little pods that we work out of, but going from studio to studio, you'll pass each other in the hallways occasionally at a socially acceptable distance and with your masks on. So we were on our way out of the studio, having just done, I guess, the first intermission, and Tom Caron and Jim Rice and Steve Lyons were on their way into the studio to do the post-game show. And Tom Caron put it this way, and he tweeted this last night. A catcher is pitching because the second baseman who was pitching got hurt. A shortstop is catching. Another catcher is at second base. This is starting to get embarrassing right now.
Starting to? Yeah, I think we've definitely reached the embarrassing phase. Although I do enjoy that Ron Renicki and I now feel like we share some common bonds because, you know, we do a running batting order in our baseball league and you got to switch people up every inning. You know, we've got 12 guys playing and this guy's got to go to second. That's what Ron Renicki's doing. He's got no real solidified anything and he's just moving pieces around. And
by the way, I'm not even blaming Ron Renicki.
No.
For this train wreck.
First of all, whether you even think he's the manager beyond this year.
He stinks.
That's not very nice.
He stinks at his job.
No, but I can't blame him for what I'm seeing.
How do we know, like...
Well, here's the thing.
Who's the greatest manager in history? Would he be doing any better?
No, but here's the thing that I want to make sure that we're not doing. And I don't think necessarily you two guys are doing this, but this is what we don't do. We don't excuse how bad he's been because the team is bad. Both things can be true.
The team is awful.
This roster sucks, Dan.
Yes.
That's my point.
Well, that's too much. The pitching. The pitching sucks.
I mean, you got
sucks.
Colton Brewer tonight going up against Gerrit Cole. Colton Brewer, by the way, is the starter, the opener for a bullpen game.
The pitching sucks. There's no doubt about that. You can't put lipstick on this pig. I'm not disagreeing with it. But what I'm saying is we can't let Renicki off the hook when he makes some of the decisions that he's made. When you fail to pinch hit J.D. Martinez for Andrew Benintendi in New York at Yankee Stadium when Benintendi is the tying run in the ninth inning, that's a terrible managerial move. That has nothing to do with the roster, right? When you leave certain guys out to dry on the mound, even if you have somebody else who stinks that you go to, you still go to that person who stinks instead of letting that guy just die on the vine. There are a number of things that Renicki could have and should have done through this season that might have given his team a better chance to win. That's not
they might
his
have
team
two
off.
More wins, maybe.
I think that's strong.
Again, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure that when we look at this team, it's not, oh, the roster was terrible, so, man, poor Renicki. Yeah, poor Renicki that he's going to deal with this, but that doesn't mean that we excuse all of his mistakes as well. You know,
Lou Merlone, one of the co-hosts for OMF, tweeted this out, and he said, the fact of the matter is, you've not just the Red Sox, but we're talking about the Red Sox. You've got so many guys now on major league rosters who have no business being there.
It was an epic rant yesterday, and Lou was at his best.
And we're seeing it every night.
Yep.
And I understand this was kind of a reset year a bit for the Red Sox. They had to hope that Major League Baseball could keep the ship afloat until August 31st and reset the luxury tax limits. You've got, you know, great starting pitching or very good starting pitching that's not available to you. I get it. But I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I can remember, I believe you and I, Cattles, did a show the Saturday after the opener. Is that what it was?
I believe so.
And we actually had a hint of positivity.
Yeah, we did. They were on a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, and there was, you know, Evaldi, and, you know, if they get it, the offense is going to come around, and, you know, they could sneak in, last playoff team. Now we're talking about number one overall picks.
Well, you know, I find it funny because when they won the World Series, a lot of people, myself included, like when a team wins a championship, I feel like they almost have like a 5-year grace period.
No.
Of course, you want them to compete every year, but you look at it and say, hey, they won the World Series. Dave Dombrowski was brought in to go for it. He went for it. But just like I'm talking about Renicki not being excused, we can't excuse all of the errors that Dombrowski made just because they won the championship. I mean, this is what happens. This is what happens when you overpay for past success. This is what happens when you risk a team's future on someone with a sketchy medical history like Chris Sale. This is what happens when you swing and miss so badly on some free agent deals. This is what happens when you swing and miss in the draft, when you're simultaneously dealing all of your prospects. This is what happens when you have a GM, president of baseball operations, that walks into a negotiation like he's a guy at a strip club with a money gun and just wants to pay everybody. Like, these are the things. Now we're dealing with the results, and that's this current team.
Let's give you a little bit of the epic Lou Merlone rant from yesterday. Oh.
They have no flipping clue when the ball's hit to them what they want to do with it. If they do, they don't know how to run the bases. When they get two strikes, they don't know how to make contact. You got pitchers up here in the big leagues throwing 98 with a nasty slider. They don't have a third pitch. They're starters. They can't locate. Nothing. I tell you what, Benintendi's on the damn DL. Usually your ego gets hurt when you have a bad base running, not your ribcage. That kid should go down to AAA. They should rehab down there. And every inning, they should put him on first base. And for 3 weeks, he should run the bases. And start to figure out how to do that. Javis, if you're going to play first, figure out how to play over there as well. Like, it's just mind-boggling. The kids come up to the big leagues, and they're not ready to perform. And I don't know why GMs would waste a year of eligibility before free agency and arbitration on a learning year or two to try to figure out who he is. But how many kids come up? They're not ready. They don't know what they're doing. And you watch the game, you're like, what the Christ is this? 11 straight strikeouts on Sunday's game. 11 straight, both teams. It sucks. Some of these guys don't belong here. They would be career 4A hitters, 4A players. I've seen it before. I've seen guys better than some of these kids in the big leagues. But because they can hit a ball 450 feet, they're up here. That's about the only skill they got.
I can't disagree with anything Lou said yesterday.
It's classic.
I mean, look, I think he was right. And I kind of knew that it was not going to be a very successful year here. I kind of wrote it off at the beginning. I didn't think it would be Keystone Cop-like, which it is right now.
Right, yeah. Non-competitive. It's a joke.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, to bring up Benintendi, lack of talent is one thing. When a team's not good, a team's not good, okay. When it's not being managed well, okay, I get it. But to look at some of these things that are happening, especially Benintendi, you know, the other night he misreads a ball off the bat to left field. He takes the wrong path, and then he decides to jog after the baseball when it goes off the wall, right? And then he gets caught up between second and third, which is what Lou's talking about, and it's a terrible base running gaffe to begin with, and then to understand that he had the entire play in front of him in that moment. Like, it's not just not having enough talent. It's not just a bunch of ham and eggers on the mound that they keep throwing out there night in and night out. It's not just that Ron Renneke has not done a very good job managing when he's had an opportunity to actually do it. It's also when you watch this team, like Lou said, it just comes across as they have no idea in the blue hell what they are supposed to do when they're playing the game of baseball.
And I think next year, Ron Renneke won't be the manager of the Red Sox.
Thank God.
And again, let me just stress, this is not his fault, though, Nick. I mean,
he's not blameless.
But that's different.
Right.
There is no manager in baseball who could turn this pile of crap into something better.
But Dale, so it can't both be true, Dale. Though can't this team be talentless and the manager not doing a good job?
I don't think he'll be the manager next year.
Okay, good.
I think Alex Cora will be the manager next year.
Me too. But can we just the Benintendi thing from Lou's rant? I just looked it up. How many games you think Andrew Benintendi has played in Major League Baseball?
A lot.
He's coming up on 500.
Yeah.
So plate appearances, 2,100.
Has not progressed the way I thought he would.
So
yeah,
this
he's
is,
not that dude. He's not that dude,
right.
I guess.
He's just not that good. And I said this to Cattles recently. Like, I think he's always been one of their most overrated players. And to say, like, oh, he came up too soon, okay, whatever. But, like, he's been up forever. Even if the development shouldn't happen at the big league level, he should have happened by now at the big league level, right?
Yeah.
This is 500 games in. And the other aspect of Lou's rant, because I actually don't hate teams sometimes that if you're in a bridge year, you're rebuilding or whatever you want to call it. Okay, so you got, you know, four or five arms in the pen. They only got one pitch. They throw 100. Sometimes it's a strikeout. Sometimes they give up a bomb, whatever. Or you only got a few young sluggers. They're going to bat 220, but they're going to hit some absolute bombs. Is there a long list of that type of player on this team? Because I don't think there is. There's some of the guys that are established, and maybe he was talking about Chavis in particular, but I don't see this long list of relievers coming in, these pitching changes where I'm like, guy throws 100, let's see what happens today. Nope. I just don't really want to see any of them
well,
in the game.
They brought the guy in who could throw 100 stock the other night, and he's throwing change-ups and breaking
right.
balls on the first two pitches. The guy looked like he had no idea how to pitch.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder he's gone a day later. He throws 100, but he doesn't want to throw it 100, and it's just, oh my.
It's awful. It's not entertaining.
No, it's an unmitigated disaster.
And you can be entertaining in a rebuild. You can have some sort of hope or, you know, I see what we're doing here and what we're investing in here. Is there any of that? Do you feel any of that rebuilding hope and excitement and entertainment paying off?
But I also hope that the disaster that is on display in front of us does not cause the Red Sox to do something really dumb. Sam Kennedy was on the morning show yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And he said a couple of things. One was that the 7:30 starts in hindsight were not a good idea. Thank you, Sam. No, they're not. But he also said no one is untouchable on this roster. I hope they don't mean that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. In because this has been such an unmitigated disaster and you want to make moves and you got to fix this and you got to move forward, that's fine. Don't do something stupid like trade off Xander Bogaerts because nobody's untouchable, you know, and he'll bring us a lot in return. He will. He's the sort of player you build around,
yes.
Not trade away to find pieces to try to rebuild this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's pouring salt in the wound when you see Mookie freaking Betts hit 3 home runs last night. Like, that's why you don't trade Xander. You don't, not saying that Xander is at the same level, but Xander's really freaking good at playing baseball. And this is Boston. They've got the third highest payroll in baseball. This is the Boston Red Sox. We're not talking about the freaking Marlins, right? You don't trade your best players. You don't do that. They shouldn't have let Mookie Betts get to L.A. They shouldn't have made that deal. They shouldn't have done stupid things with their books to put them in that position with the luxury tax threshold. You don't deal your best players. This is Boston. It's about competing. You keep a guy like Xander. If they deal their top talent, I mean, I don't know what the fan base, I have no idea how they'll react, because if they do that, that's putting the fan base in a position to not only kind of write this team off and forget about them and say, I'm not watching, that's going to open the door to some serious damage for years down the road as well.
We'll hear what Sam Kennedy had to say yesterday in just a couple of minutes. We'll turn our attention to the Patriots at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keith with Heart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just 2 people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Dick, Dale, and Keith.
Let's get back.
With Andy Hart.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
On WEEI.
You look at this team and you look at, we still have a really young group of core players that you'd like to see with the Red Sox for a long, long time. But, you know, would never label anybody untouchable, just given the fact that sometimes to retool and restructure for the future, you do have to sometimes make difficult decisions, as you saw with the Mookie transaction. So I don't think anybody would be untouchable, as it were, but there are certainly guys that have grown up in the system that we'd like to keep with the Sox for a long, long time.
All right. I would suggest that after Mookie Betts tied the major league record for most 3 home run games in a major league career, it's probably a bad time, and Sam didn't know that when he said this yesterday morning, to bring up the Betts deal as a possible precursor to other deals that might be made. It is an unmitigated disaster. I expected it to be bad. I didn't think it would be this bad. The most important thing for the Red Sox is get the season to August 31st. Anything that happens beyond that is gravy. If you get the first overall pick, great. Who cares? Retool this thing. That's fine. Probably replace Ron Renicki with Alex Cora next year as the manager. I think that's well within the realm of possibility. Just don't do something stupid like trade away Xander Bogaerts, because, hey, we got to redo this thing here, fellas. Let's go.
Do you believe that's a legitimate concern? Because, I mean, I can't even fathom a move like that. Like, Xander Bogaerts, and I know...
No, I think Sam was being a bit hyperbolic.
Right.
You know, you say, hey, nobody's untouchable. Yeah, okay. And in theory, that's a fine philosophy to have.
Right.
But in practice, it better not be true.
Right. That was like 6 years ago, Bill telling us, you know, everybody has to fight for their job and reestablish themselves. Well, yeah. Everybody other than the guy number 12, right? Yeah, everybody else. So
you don't want to put yourself in a bind either. Like, there might be some of that from Sam as well, where, you know, if you write off the idea of trading somebody, it might come back to haunt you down the road, even though it's very unlikely. You know, if you say, well, we're not going to deal this guy or that guy, then the team doesn't call and they might not offer you something that they would offer you otherwise. So there's probably some of that. I just think it's bad timing. Like, I just think, you know, when you look at this, you should say, and again, I'm not going to sit there and kill Sam. Like, I didn't kill Tuukka Rask. You know, people say things, live microphones, they're talking on the phone, whatever's going on, right? But, you know, if Sam said something along the lines of, you know, well, this is Boston, we try to build stars, we try to keep stars, and we hope we don't have to go down a road like we had to go down with Mookie. Something like that, optically, again, would have been better, but I think his intent was to just send the message that we're just going to try to get better somehow, some way, no matter what. I think that's what he was trying to say.
I mean, obviously, Babe Ruth is the measuring stick by which all Red Sox mistakes are ever measured, but ultimately, the Mookie Betts departure for Los Angeles is not going to be far behind the Babe Ruth thing. I mean, this guy is, in my opinion, the second best player in baseball. The first best we know is Mike Trout. He was the perfect person to be wearing a Red Sox uniform. He was a great player. He was a great representative. He was everything you'd ever want. And ultimately, because of decisions you made contract-wise throughout the course of, you know, past years, we're watching that guy be a megastar in Los Angeles in front of no fans. That's not his fault. But that guy's going to come back and haunt you for the next 10 years.
Well, see, that's where the question is. And I know you and I and Rich Keefe have had this discussion a lot. It'll haunt you for the next few years, correct? I think we all have to put that as a given, that Mookie's going to be an all-star caliber player.
He's going to be a superstar.
But what happens when we get to year 6, 7, 8? Will there be a maybe change of opinion on the overall contract and trade and ability to sign him? And then you also tie into that, we're also going to be monitoring a guy that I kind of like what I've seen early on in Verdugo.
Yeah, I like
as a
Verdugo.
Player.
I do. I like him.
And then Jeter Downs, right? These are going to factor into that comparison.
They're going to factor in, but I'm sorry, they will never be what Mookie Betts is going to be.
But what if Mookie Betts sucks in 7 years and 8 years and 9 years and he's got this massive
by
contract?
By then, Alex Verdugo will likely suck too.
See, here's the...
Well, that's a negative view, Dale.
I'm just trying to be real here.
They'll all suck, Andy. They'll all suck.
Dale Arnold, ever the optimist.
Yeah, you know.
But when I look at it, though, and Andy, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you looking at it the way you do, saying, you know, year 9, year 10. My issue is it's not because of that, though. Like, my issue is they traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers because of other deals that they made, which backfired on them, which made it almost impossible to get to a number that Mookie would have been cool with pre-COVID-19.
Right.
This was, you know, mismanagement of certain deals, going back to Ruzne Castillo, for the love of God, and Pablo Sandoval. When you make those kinds of deals, those kinds of agreements, they can always come back and haunt you. And I think we see some of that. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe Chris Sale will come back from Tommy John and look great. But, you know, when you look at the Chris Sale deal, that's another thing. You know, so there was something that we knew about Mookie. We knew Mookie was one of the top three players in baseball. We don't know what Downs or Verdugo is going to be. I like Verdugo. But I think if the Red Sox came out and said, we were afraid. And they did some of this. We were afraid about the length of the deal, the term of the deal. Okay, we knew why they made that deal. They made that deal because they just did not handle their own books correctly with many decisions they made with some of the prior management.
All right, we'll turn our attention to the Patriots when we come back in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.